Today we get to that point of beginning in the redemptive family course. I have many happy memories of my childhood. Among them, some of my strong memories, maybe it's just me, but it's like breakfast time. The warmth, mum bustling around in the kitchen, making sure we had all the stuff we needed for getting out to school. Being with my brother and my sister. I remember holidays, mum and dad spending time with us. I have a particular memory when I was about to start intermediate school. So I think I've said to you before, my mum and dad had immigrated here. When we arrived, we didn't have much. They didn't have much. But they knew that I needed a bike to get to school. So they went out and they bought me a bike for my birthday. But it was a second-hand bike. Nothing flash about it. I remember it being a funny color that no one else would want. But the real thing about this bike was, I was a little guy and this was a big bike. And I could hardly reach. And I remember getting on it that first morning with mum and dad sort of holding it and me sort of getting over this thing and sitting there with my feet on the pedals. But the reality was, whenever I wanted to stop this bike, I almost had to sort of fall off to let it get to a point because it was so big. But they were right. I did grow into it in the end. And I'm very grateful to my mum and dad and the family home life that they made for us. I'm able to look back on what I consider, from my perspective, to be quite an idyllic childhood because of the home environment they established, in part because they loved each other and in part because they loved us, their children. And so we were a family. Not a perfect family, but we were together a family. And in the society we lived in those days, in the 70s, growing up, there were many such families getting on much the same as we got on. But then as today, not all families succeeded in family life. There were a wide range of family situations, some who struggled, some who thrived, places of safety, some that were unsafe, some houses where you knew it was an encouraging environment, some where it was a bit discouraging. Families where there was great love and homes where there was heartache. And sadly, the same can be said of church family. I don't mean by that the individual families within a church, but us together as church family in this place and another church family down the road and another church family in another part of Auckland. And as we come to this redemptive family course, part of what we want to ask is, what kind of church family do we want to be? How do we want to act and be together to make this a family that is worthwhile being part of? What kind of church family do we want to be? And I think in some respects, the answer to that is obvious. If I was to ask you, I think the types of things that you would say is that we want to be a spiritually healthy church family, a place where we belong and a place where we can grow. I want to have a place where we feel we are being supportive of each other and loving and encouraging each other. A place that we feel we are thriving in our mission and uniting in our worship. And my personal point of view, and I hope that you share it with me, is that at Greyfriars, we are that kind of church family, a spiritually healthy church family. And I wonder if it would be fair to say we are spiritually healthy, but we're not at peak health. There are evident strengths, but there are also areas with room for improvement. The redemptive family course is going to help us with those things that will enable us to be a strong spiritual family. I should say at the outset, the Redemptive Family Course provides sermon outlines, and so Jay Chole and I have those to look at to help us as we go through the course. Our challenge is to try and take those spiritual truths and fit them in to our situation as a church here at Greyfriars. But I just wanted you to know that we do have those outlines, and that helps us to follow the course that you follow in the booklets, and also to give credit to those who have written it. Being a spiritual family which is effective in mission only happens with the transforming work of God. So we do have to make an effort. Everyone needs to make an effort. But this is something we can't do by our own effort. It requires the Holy Spirit. And we see this happening to the early church on the day of Pentecost. As much as those disciples already knew about Jesus, they couldn't do what Jesus had given them to do on their own strength. They needed the Holy Spirit to come to fill them and to empower them. And I want you to think just for a moment, where were the disciples on the day of Pentecost? They were not at a remote retreat on some faraway place, going away from the realities of life to get in touch with God. On the day of Pentecost, they were in a house in Jerusalem, a bustling city that at that particular time was filled with pilgrims who had come from around the world to celebrate the harvest Thanksgiving. So, don't misunderstand me, I'm not against having times of solitude, because I think there are times when that is important in our church life. But to be in touch with the Holy Spirit doesn't require that. And in fact, what happens with the disciples is Holy Spirit brings life, spiritual life, into their everyday life. And this is what this course tells us. Pentecost was not some spiritual reality divorced from everyday life. Rather, everyday life became ordered around kingdom growing. And Redemptive Family links in and talks about our everyday lives and brings to them a difference of the kingdom of God. So at home, at work, at play, at school, at university, at the workshop, in the office, in the staff room, wherever everyday life happens for you, this course is talking about the Holy Spirit coming into those everyday places and ordering things around the kingdom of God. And so this relates to how you behave. It relates to your character. The outworking of your faith, what you do, what you say, your attitudes, your speech, the you that you are inside, the you that you allow people to see and encounter every day, the you that other people know. Someone has asked, if you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Is your faith that obvious? Or do people around you generally not know about it? Do you show your faith in the way that you behave? Honest, polite, acting with integrity towards co-workers, customers, clients, and friends in such a way that your Christian faith is evident and out there? Do the people you interact with daily know that you go to church? Do they know that you're likely to be here today? Do they know that you're a person of faith? Or might they be surprised to discover this? And part of the Redemptive Family Course is helping us to take our faith, the things that we believe, and bring them into those areas of life, our everyday relationships, in a respectful way. When we read in Acts chapter 2, as Brian was reading to us, you see this amazing change in the lives of the disciples. And it comes about because the Holy Spirit enters them, impacts their lives, changes them. And each of us needs this. In the Bible, we're commanded, do not quench the Spirit. And also it says, since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. Now here is something that I think is absolutely amazing and wonderful. God is present. God is active. God inspires. God is with us. God guides us. God is at work in us. God is at work through us. I've found this in my life. I know it. And I know that so many of you have this experience in your lives of knowing God, of walking with God. And if we are not just to maintain that, but to grow that, it requires the Holy Spirit. The people in Australia in recent times have suffered from terrible bushfires. And we hope that they've been put out by the rains that they've had this week. Unlike those bushfires that needed to be put out, within our hearts and lives, we need to kindle that fire and that flame. And so I ask, how brightly is the flame of the Spirit burning in your life? Is it a little ember you try to keep contained in a firebox under control? Or does he blaze within you? Have we, in a sense, built firewalls, fire breaks around our lives so that Sunday morning is contained but doesn't get out into the other parts of our lives? The presence of the Holy Spirit is so important to us, because one of the big things that happens with the Holy Spirit is it's the Holy Spirit who binds us together as a family of faith. And so we read in the Scriptures, God speaking through the Apostle Paul, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. And then later on, he says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. This is how we know we are God's children. This is how we are united as God's children. The Holy Spirit within me, the Holy Spirit within you. They're coming together. The presence of the Holy Spirit, the guarantee that we have been adopted into God's family. And this creating family, this uniting family, this making family is central to what Jesus was doing in his life and in his mission. Perhaps one of the most powerful stories in the Bible is a story about a family. When you think of the stories in the Bible through the lens of family, you see these stories all over the place. One of the best known, the story of a broken family. You'll remember it, I'm sure. A son takes his inheritance, foolishly leaves home, wastes his money, wastes his life in a faraway country. When he comes to his senses and he's coming home, the father sees him at a distance and runs to him, orders the servants to put a cloak on his shoulders, a ring on his finger, and shoes on his feet. And this story of the prodigal son tells us, at least in some part, that God wants us to be his family, embraced by him, brought in by him, to be a part of the celebrations that are part of the kingdom of God. And so here at church, we're not simply a gathering of like-minded people, nor are we members of a club with a common interest. Here's the wonderful thing. We are family. Together, we are family, the family of God. God has brought his daughters and his sons who have returned home to him, and we are that family together. And so what does it mean to you that we are brothers and sisters together? In this family, we reach out. We invite in and we include others. When I first arrived in New Zealand aged 7, I was this skinny little guy with a funny accent, and I didn't really fit in. and a storyline taken from the movies, a guy who was in a class older than me, a big guy, befriended me, watched over me, invited me to his place. His family kind of adopted me. Often when they were going out on a Sunday drive or picnic, there I would be in the middle of the back seat of the car, the little guy in the middle. His mother made it her mission in life, seeing how skinny I was, to fatten me up. And hasn't she done a good job? And how do I work it the other way around? The family adopted me. Their home was my home away from home. I spent nights sleeping there. Saturdays, I'd spend a lot of time there. I'd have tea there. I suppose if I hung out long enough, they'd invite me. Is he still here? Yeah, yeah. Well, he might as well have tea with us. Learning to play Monopoly and cards and chess and all sorts of things. And Jesus said to his followers, go make disciples. Go on. Go find those skinny kids of the world and bring them into the family. Go find those sort of needy people of the world and bring them in and let them be a part of what we're doing here. Outreach, evangelism, connecting with others, it's part of the DNA of the church. And so we read in the passage in Acts that they were gaining the favor of all people, enjoying that favor, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And how did this happen? Well, it happened because they were devoted to the apostles' teaching and they were bringing people together and sharing in the fellowship meals. They were thinking that God is so wonderful. They were sharing this with others and there was a unity among the believers. Some of them were even selling property so that others could have things to eat and to live on. They met both in the temple, as it were, in the church, and in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts. The spiritual family extended to the temple, the marketplace, and their homes. And the Redemptive Family Course says, the clear implication of this passage, the devotion to the teaching, the awe and the wonder, the unity of the believers, the clear implication of this passage is that by doing these things together, people were being saved. They were being made part of the family. And the early Christians made being family the family business. And they brought people in. They reached out, they invited, they included others. They pulled people from the temple, the marketplace. They took them home, they fed them. They let their joy and passion and zeal and the power of the Holy Spirit leak all over them. Outreach was through inclusion. They pulled up another seat at the table and did what the family of God does together. And people were saved. And so I asked the question, how do we help the stranger, the visitor, the guest to feel at home, one of the family, one of us? When was the last time you took time just to speak to someone who's new or someone you don't quite know yet and help to embrace them in the family life of the church here? I went to the supermarket through the week. And as I was going through the supermarket, I noticed where some of the aisles met, there was a woman. And she was getting stuff out. She was setting up a little table and advertising. And I thought about this. The kingdom of God is like a merchandiser who set up a stall in the supermarket aisle and put up a table and some advertising, displayed a tray of fine cheese, which he offered to people to taste. The shoppers started to arrive. Some passed her by in a hurry, annoyed that she was in their way and they had to put their trolleys around her. Some glanced in her direction, but avoided her as if she wasn't there. Now, as I'm telling the story, which are you? What do you do when you see that type of thing happening in the shop? Some glanced in her direction, avoided her as if she wasn't there. Some had a quick taste, but moved on. Some looked and smelt, even tasted the cheese, asking where it was sourced, but they didn't really buy into it. Occasionally, a person took some and thought, this is nice, tried it again. Bought some and took some home because they enjoyed it so much, they wanted others to be able to taste it as well. As the scriptures tell us, taste and see that the Lord is good. Each of us is a merchandiser. Your workplace, your school, wherever you may be, is the stall. Your life, your actions, your conversations are the advertising that catch people's attention. The samples are the little tastes of Jesus that you give to people, that you hold out to them. So how do we help people taste and see that the Lord is good? You see, our relationships can be a bridge for sharing the gospel. Our way of life can open doors, can make opportunities for people to taste and see that the Lord is good. And if we're going to do that, we need to be consistent. Consistent in the way we live and consistent in trying to engage people in the friendship and sticking with them. We also need to be able to help connect people with other Christians. If they know two or three Christians and they can see things happening in their lives as well as yours, then that may have another influence upon them. Here at Greyfriars, we try to make this easy by having events like Barbecue Church, which we're having tonight, where you can invite people who are not already part of the church to join us. They can mix and meet and mingle with people from the church. But it doesn't matter if you don't invite anyone. Come along anyway. You see, at the Barbecue Church, we put out another chair. In fact, we put out another table. And we have some more tables ready to go out, some more chairs ready to go out for the people who come, because we want to embrace people with that. Consider the Barbecue Church and the other events an opportunity to help someone into the kingdom of God. You see, just by being there, by being present, by interacting with the people in church and the others who may come and visit, as they see the way we interact, it speaks to them. It gives them a taste of what church is like. Recently, I passed by a cafe with no one in it. I was thinking about having some afternoon tea. And I looked, and there was no one in that cafe. And you know, the thought that came to my mind was not, hey, there's lots of space, I'll be able to go in there. The thought was, why is no one in there? What's wrong? Is their coffee rubbish? Is their food stale? Because we all know that if there's a few people around and they're sitting there and they're eating and they're having fun, then if we see a cafe like that, that's the sort of place we're going to go, where there's a bit of a buzz. And so we think there must be something here. The food must be good. That's why people are here. The staff must be efficient and the coffee or the tea is nice. That's what we want people to get when they come to our church. That there's sort of a bustle, an activity, a life about it at Barbecue Church. So you might not have invited anyone, but come along anyway, because we want it to be bustling and we want it to be thriving. In the early days of the church, the pagans are reported as saying, those Christians, see how they love each other. And that's what we want to see happen in our church life. And I'm longing for the day when a new Christian says to me, I took my first steps to faith when I saw at the Barbecue Church how you Christians loved each other and made space to include me and my family in that love. And as we do that, we need to be clear about the gospel. We don't need the Bible bash, but we do need to be clear about the Bible. And the psalmist wrote, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Some of you might remember the older version that says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Speak up. Put it out there. Tell people about it. If you've been redeemed, say something about it. This comes from the Psalm 107. And I invite you, if you have time today, to sit down and read that psalm, because it's split into little sections of different situations people were in where God came along and did something for them. Whatever your situation in life, let the redeemed of the Lord in that situation say so. In my situation, in someone else's situation, all the different ways that God is working, the redeemed of the Lord should say so. We have been redeemed. We have a story. We don't have to tell it all at once, but we can give just a little bit of a taste. Maybe we would say, feel God's been good to me this week. Just put that in a conversation and leave it at that and see if anyone bites, if anyone takes that taster and wants more. Or maybe, I enjoyed the music quiz at barbecue church on Sunday. Oh, maybe they'll be interested in asking about that. Each of those is just a little snippet, just a little sentence, just a little something to see if they will invite you to say more. And so I invite you to take a full part in this redemptive family course. Foster relationships. Be together in it. And as you go out into this week, I ask you to consider what it means to be family here in the church, with sisters and brothers in faith together. And I encourage you, seek to build up good relationships with other people in your everyday life. And I invite you, set up your stall. Set up your stall wherever you are. Let your life speak of Christ. And offer tastes of Jesus to those who are around you. Imagine a redemptive church family known for its love, inviting, including people in its life, together fulfilling the mission of God. Well, that's what we aim to be. So go out into the week ahead, redemptive people, live to the glory of God, delight in Him, and invite others to come and join you. Amen. We're going to sing together as the worship team.